the key to spiritual growth. Because if we're not growing spiritually, we're going to lose a lot. We're going to lose a lot. If you don't spiritually grow, you will be in a terrible disadvantage. Do you know that it's the same disadvantage, physical growth and spiritual growth? They kind of compare. You can look at them, they look alike. Spiritual babies behave like natural babies. No difference. Spiritual growth, when we have our children, what is the most important thing you want to see them do? Grow. You want them to grow. If your child is not growing, you get worried. You get bothered. Because that means that he's not developing mentally. He's not developing physically. So he's not equipped to handle life. And he will become dependent on you the rest of his life. So it bothers everybody. You want your child to develop, to grow mentally, emotionally, physically, so that they'll be able to become independent and be useful. So now if your child hasn't grown naturally, physically, he is limited and very vulnerable, extremely vulnerable. And we need a lot of attention. A lot of attention. Which means you're going to clean him up or clean her up. You need to do a lot of things because he can't do anything on himself. Now, you can understand that it is the same thing spiritually. When we don't grow spiritually, we are exactly like that natural child. The same natural limitations you see is the same spiritual limitations you see. They are not different. They are not different at all. And that's why we lose a lot of spiritual battles, and we don't even know how to engage in them. And that's why lives don't change. You know, 10 years a Christian, 15 years a Christian, you're still throwing anger tantrums. You're still doing the same thing that you used to do before you got saved. There hasn't been a development. It's obvious that that's the reason. There hasn't been a development. I went to see my little children, and then my little girl, for the first time, I carried her. She was comfortable with me. She has developed now to recognize grandpa, at least a little bit. And that moment I carried her, that was the greatest Father's Day gift, as far as I'm concerned. To carry my little girl, she kept quiet. I enjoyed it like nothing else. I've been craving for this. Because I would come, she would run away from me. Grandpa was toxic. But now she has developed, gradually recognizing values, recognizing faces, recognizing this is grandpa now, recognizing this is this. That's exactly what happens when we are spiritually stunted. We don't recognize values properly. We don't know when God is acting. We don't even recognize always when the devil is acting. Some things that the devil is doing, we say it's God. Some things that God is doing, we say it's what? The devil, because it doesn't look like, you know. And spiritual truths don't make sense to us. They don't really make sense to us. That's what Paul was saying to the Corinthians. He said, if I tell you spiritual things, you will not be able to what? Understand it. He said, because you are babies. Say you are babies, you will not be able. So when you tell a spiritually retarded person about key things in Christianity, he doesn't see what you're talking about. He doesn't see. He'll go back crawling all over the place and whining and complaining and everything. It's got like the same kind of things he's doing them. So we can see this evening that it is important that we understand how to grow spiritually. It's in your own interest. And also, it is what? In my own interest. Because most things we pursue in Christianity is what God says don't pursue. Again, as a result of lack of growth. Most prayer list is about us, natural things, about natural things. Because we do not understand that the things we see were made by the things what? We don't see. So we focus on the things we see. And yet, what is causing the confusion is from the things we don't see. So we don't go to the root of issues. So Paul was talking to the church in Philippians 1 from verse 8. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more. Your love will overflow what? More and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and what? Discernment or understanding. 10. For I want you to understand, I'm reading New Living Translation. For I want you to understand what really what matters. Now let me ask you a question. My baby is 1 year old. How does she understand what really matters? Huh? Paul said, I want the church, I want every Christian to be able to understand what really what matters. Why? So that you may now live pure and blameless life until the day Christ returns. Then the next verse, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by who? Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. He said, I want the Christian to know what matters so that he can live the Christian life. So that he'll be able to put his life, so that Christ will produce the thing for which he came to produce in his life. So, now, the natural growth that we have. Now, let me, forgive me, I need to talk about my little girl. I love my kids, man. So, you know, my little girl, if I want her to grow, and I hold her by the head, I say to the mother, hold her by the leg. Let's pull her so that she will grow. What will happen? They will call intervention and call diapers. Diapers? Yeah. Because that's abuse. She will never grow by pulling her. Am I right? There's only one thing that makes her grow. What's that? What is that? Food. And I've told you that natural things mimic spiritual things. There's no difference. It mimics spiritual things. Babies, natural babies are attracted by colors, bright colors. Am I right? Baby Christians are also attracted by bright colors. Anything that excites emotions, shakes cheers and everything, they get attracted. They don't have the ability to process and say, what is this that I'm seeing? So babies go for colors, pyam, including fire, pyam. Because it's half bright and dancing like that, wants to see what that thing is. Same thing with spiritual children. So the same way you feed naturally to grow is the same way you feed spiritually to what? Grow. You don't grow by title. There are a lot of people with title who are very kind, including leaders of denominations. If they're not kind, how are they lending their people to accepting pervert sex as good and wonderful? How are they leading an entire denomination to accept what is abomination before God? Leading them. Defending it. So, for us to grow spiritually, you must understand that the only way you can grow is to feed and exercise. You feed, you what? Exercise. Let's say it together. You feed and you what? Exercise. Let's say it together. You feed and exercise. Say it one more time. You feed. So, what am I supposed to feed? Because the Bible is big. But the Bible has one team. The Bible is big. But the Bible has only one what? And what's the theme of the Bible? Jesus Christ. When the disciples saw, met Jesus, they went and told him, they said, we have seen him that the Moses and the prophets what? Talked about. And Jesus said, I'm the one that the prophets, the apostles write about. He says, now I'm here. You should come to me to have life. I'm the theme of this Bible. Everything you see from Old Testament to New, everything you see in the Old Testament is an illustration of coming of Jesus. All of them. Including David and Goliath. All of them. All of them is an illustration of what you see. All the animal sacrifices you see is illustrating the blood. Everything you see in the temple is illustrating the church, illustrating God living in you. Everything is illustrating the priesthood of Jesus. And when Jesus came in John 6:35, Jesus said to them, what did he say to them? John 6:35, I am what? The bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes, mark the word believes in me, will never be tested. So quit means, what will make me believe in Jesus Christ? Is it not that I should know him? If I don't know him, I can't believe him. I will believe in him to the extent that I do what? So he said to us, I am the food you eat. And then you will not thirst, you grow, you become healthy. I'm the food. You eat me. And then you are healthy. Ezekiel 3:1 illustrates to us eat the word of God as food that you can eat. Ezekiel chapter 3 from verse 1. Moreover, he said to me, King James Version, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly. Fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey and what? Sweetness. I read verse 3. You are still in verse 2. Let's start from verse 1 again. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat this thou findest. Eat this what? Roll. And go speak unto the house of Israel. Now verse 2. So I opened my mouth, and he, God, caused me to what? Eat the roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat. Hey, it's gotten into your mouth, digest it. I told you that the Old Testament is an illustration of what? So he's saying, you've eaten it now. Cause your belly now to also what? Digest it. Meditate on it. And get it digested. Now, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey. Did you know what Jesus said? Let my word dwell what? Richly. Eat it. Then you shall ask anything you want, it to work for you. Then you can grow. So Jesus said, you got to have faith in me so that you won't thirst. You got to have faith in me so you have strength. You got to have faith in me. You got to have faith in me. Now, how would this faith come? Faith will come by hearing. Hearing about Christ. Because Jesus is the word that was made man, flesh. Okay? So Colossians 1:3 shows us how some Christians developed and grew. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. For we have heard, what did we hear? Of your what? Faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of gospel. So we heard about your faith in Christ. Remember what Jesus said. If you believe in me, you won't thirst again. Your faith in me is what is the key thing to growing your faith in me. And so we've heard about your faith, man, and the love you have for all God's people. Your life is now a life of love. So, and verse 5. So how did they develop this? How did they grow their faith? Verse 5. Which came from your confident hope
of what God has reserved for you, where? In heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of what? The good. The first day you heard the gospel, that was the day you began to have this expectation that Jesus is alive. He's alive. We're going to see him again. Then the next verse, 6. This same gospel that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. Just as it changed your life from the day you first heard and understood, not just hearing, reading, you heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. Because the good news of the grace of God is telling you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, it's about Jesus and what God did for mankind in Christ Jesus. So their faith came. In fact, let me finish it. Verse 7. I want us to read verse 7. Everybody, let's go. You learn about the good news from who? Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant. And he's helping us on your... Why is he Christ's faithful servant? He's bringing to them what they need to know so that they can grow in Christ. The message that Jesus gave to them to give to the people is about himself. Because it is their faith in him that will bring them into where God wants them to be. For instance, it is your faith in Christ that pulled you out of the world and brought you into the kingdom of God. Two of us, come on, talk to me. It's your faith in Christ that first of all pulled you out of the kingdom of darkness and made you a child of God and made you a Christian. Simply because you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same faith as it grows more and more. You will experience all the benefits that God, this one that you are saved, there's a lot in Christ Jesus that you'll experience. The more you know Christ, the more you know the grace of God, the more you understand what God did, the more you embrace those things, the more your life is going from glory to glory. For instance, again, we were sinners. You believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They pulled you out of shame and brought you to what? Glory. The same way you continue to know Christ, you go from glory to glory. We are sinners. You believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They pulled you out of sin. Brought you into righteousness. If you understand me, say amen. Amen. So verse 8 tells us the result of this. They are coming to know Christ Jesus through the gospel. Verse 8. He has told us about your love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has what? Given. Brethren, think of it a little bit. They got to believe that the love of God is shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Spirit. They had it like you had it. They had it like we had it. That's what God did for us in Christ Jesus. We didn't have the love of God before, but we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and he put his love in us. And this group of Christians simply believed it. They digested it and accepted it to be true. And the result was their life began to reflect the love of God. Because Jesus said, only believe and you will see. Say it with me. Only believe and you will see. Say it again. Only believe and you will see. You know that all the issues of life come from where? The heart. It's a simple thing to understand. It's so simple to understand. All the issues of life is a product of what I believe in my heart. Because as a man thinketh, so it will be. So if I believe that I have the love of God in me, that God gave me this love of God, the Spirit of God will now work it out in your life. And then the evidence will show, like the testimony about this people is everywhere, that for we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God. He said, man, this is amazing. This is amazing. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you.
They know it was given to them by the Spirit of God when they came to Christ. They believed so. Praise the Lord. It is in their study to know Christ that they saw that in Christ Jesus something was given them. The love of God. The love of God. They said, wow. So I have the love of God. The love of God is in me. And they expected it to work. And I want you to know that your faith activates everything God has done for you. It's not just healing. We think that, you know, believe you are healed, then you are healed. It's the same thing with everything God has done. If you believe the love of God is in you and you expect it to work, you activate it, it starts working. But if you don't even know you have it, it doesn't make sense to you, then you want to live your life by your human goodness and things, wanting to be holy. You are short-circuiting the only route that God has given you, which is through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, to feed on Christ, to know him, becomes unimportant to you because you think, I can make it. How far have you made it so far? And so Paul began to pray as a result of what he saw that happened to these people. In verse 9, he began to pray. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? Because Paul realized that spiritual growth is a continuous thing. Praise the Lord. He said, so the more they have spiritual understanding, the more they have understanding about the will of God, the more they'll be able to grow. And what is this spiritual understanding that he was praying that God would give them? Because we must know. You don't just read it and say, well, yeah, give them spiritual understanding. Spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom and understanding. What is it? So that you too can have desire it. And the Bible answers it for us. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:6. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Yet when I'm among mature believers, you see, Paul is talking about this knowledge brings Christians to maturity. When I'm among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. 7. No. The wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. So when Paul says, I'm asking God to give you spiritual wisdom, Paul is saying that I am asking that God will reveal to you the mystery of God. And who is that mystery of God? Christ. He says, no, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden. Even though he made it for our ultimate what? Glory. So that your life will be a life of glory that reflects the glory of Christ. That plan was made for our glory. When you neglect that plan, you don't have any other plan that brings you to glory. None at all. You might think that I'm going to be holy and make it as, you know, I'm trying to do. You're wasting your time. It is that plan of God that brings us to glory. Can somebody shout hallelujah? That's the plan. That's the message. Hidden, Paul said, I pray that God will reveal this wisdom to you people so that you begin to walk in that glory from day to day. Now, let's read another Ephesians 3, 1 to 7. When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles, verse 2, assuming by the way, you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to what? To you Gentiles. Continue, please. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his what? Mysterious plan. Remember, brethren, pause here. And remember that Paul talked in the book of Galatians. He said, when he pleased God to reveal his son, what? To me. Then I preached him. Now he's telling us that
That revelation was a revelation of the mystery that God kept. Jesus was the plan of God that was fulfilled before the beginning of the earth. So as I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. For as you read what I had written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. Church, this is what you must know. This plan was made to bring you to glory, both in your character, both in enjoying the benefits and blessings of God. It's all about glory. We fall short of the glory. Now we're being restored to the glory. I'm not done with that. Go back. God did not reveal it to previous what? Generations. But now, by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. Continue. And this is God's plan, both Gentiles and Jews, who believe what? The good news, share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings belong to Jesus. That's what Paul was praying in verse 9 where we started to read. In verse 9 where we are reading. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. Verse 9, not the verse 9 I'm talking about is the first place that we started. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 now, that we read before. Verse 9, it says, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. He's talking about the revelation of the mystery of God, which is Christ. The revelation of the plan that God has for you. 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 Church, the plan that God has for you. He said, I have a plan for you, and it's a plan of good. That plan is about the plan of salvation in Christ. Plan to bring you to completeness, to bring you to glory, to bring you to power, to bring you to enjoyment, to bring you to blessings, to bring you as a son of God, to reveal you to your neighbors. See my son. Can somebody shout hallelujah? To reveal you to your neighbor. You don't have to preach too much. Because there's something happening. There's a plan that is being executed. That God is carrying out. He carried out in Christ as you believe. You see the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden neighbors are noticing something. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear anything. All of a sudden neighbors are noticing something. I used to live in Queen's College. And this is real story. And one man will come to me, you know, he look at me somehow. So one time he really stopped. He said, but you know, we live here, I don't know you. I said, okay, I'm so. He said, every single time I pass by you, there's some kind of atmosphere of joy that hits me. I said, really? He said, yeah. So every time I pass by you, there's some atmosphere of joy that then touches me. And then I went somewhere again. And then this was a woman selling granite. She shouldn't know me. And then he called me. He said, come. I said, you must be a Christian. I said, why are you asking? He said, there's some joy that is radiating from you. I've received phone calls from Nigeria, from places. People saying, watching your life convinced us there is God. Just watching what God is doing. I've received it from people. I receive it from people. I don't give them anything. Brethren, that's what God said. He said, I want to set you up to show the principalities and powers of this world my many-sided wisdom, what I can do. Let them see my children. They carry my glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. So when people are quarreling, when you come in there, you're peaceful. And you're full of joy. When they insult you, you smile. What you are doing is not normal. So one day somebody will come and say, so all this insult they give you, don't even respond. He said, no. Say, why? Because I have the glory of Jesus. all these church people. Let me tell you, you've sown a word. He's going home to think about it. Because you carry a glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Carry a glory. In verse 10 of that place we're reading, he says, when you have this revelation of the plan of God for you, verse 10, in that Colossians that we're reading, Colossians 1, verse 10. He says, then the way you live will always do what? Honor. Now, brethren, look up here. Let me talk to us. When the Bible says your life honors God, it's not always a sanctimonious, pharisaic type of thing. Going around, I want to honor God. You won't greet people. That's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about at all. He's talking that the way you live will make people want to think and say, what is going on here in a positive way? Is it not that Abraham said that the wife went for an interview? And after interviewing her, she just came. And you know, she speaks French. So they interviewed her, and then she left. And then they interviewed other people, and they called her back. They said, we don't know why we're doing this. You don't qualify, but we must give you this job. He said, when you walk out here, please don't tell anybody. Because all of these people are more qualified than you. But somehow, we just don't understand it. You got to have this job, period. It was decided in heaven. Somebody shout hallelujah. So all of them sitting there, all the managers, they are just sitting there wondering, how can we, what is happening to us? What is going on here? That gives God glory. That gives God honor. Somebody shout hallelujah. That God is in action. The Holy Spirit is in action. Because this is my daughter. And I'm making a way for her. Where there is no, where she's not qualified, yeah. But I make a way where there's no way. She doesn't have to be qualified by human beings. If I qualify her, she's qualified. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Case closed. They plan to fire you in your job. They say you are stupid. You don't. And you didn't even reply because you've learned to walk in glory. You don't have time to sweat. You just have enough time to love them. Because they don't have love. You have too much love to give them. And then they're planning. And at the end of the plan, everything goes practical. And then instead of firing you, they promote you. Brethren, may I ask you a question? Who was that took care of Moses? Was it not the man that was looking for him to kill him? That's what God does. Looking for him to kill him. And God says, well, you know what? You pay the mother for the inconveniences. You cost the poor woman hiding from you. So you're going to pay the mother to take care of Moses. And that, when he's grown, he's coming to your palace to take over your kingdom. Am I making this up? That's your God for you. That's called honor, that it brings honor to God when we walk in the plan God has for us. And not walk in this way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is what? It's death. Plan in Christ. What God gave you in Christ is so glorious. You don't have time for what gossip of human beings. This way told me, did it? What they told you has no meaning. God is talking something glorious in Christ. Go and know it so that you'll mature. And now in maturity, you overlook all these things. They don't even get to you because you are too busy enjoying what God has done for you. Can I hear amen? So Paul began to thank God, you know, for these people. Paul began to thank God in verse 12. He's still reading the same Colossians, verse 12. Always thanking the Father. Why is he thanking the Father? This church has understood this plan. Paul was so excited. Thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people. You have understood the plan. Now you're enjoying the blessings. Who live in the light? Who live in the light? Who live in the revelation of Christ? Christ is the light. 13. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of what? Darkness. They believe it and they're walking in freedom. Kingdom of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. You see what they have learned about Christ? That Paul is thanking God that, wow, they have gotten it. They are growing, they are maturing. Then in verse 14. Now, if you grow and you know this verse 13, tell me who would make you afraid. Eh? Don't tell me that, because when you people go home and you have a dream, you will sleep. Tell me you are mature, you will sleep. Where's your maturity? When you walk to the valley of the shadow of death, you fear evil. You're telling me you're matured. Matured people, we don't shake easily. When you are matured, no. You know in whom? Yeah, bring it on. Because you know they will offer. Can I hear amen? Amen. And your portion is sleep. I'm telling you, you want to teach the devil a lesson? Sleep. Let him waste his... Why? No weapon formed against you. So why are you even sweating? All that weapon will never prosper. So why are you wasting your time over a weapon that is incapacitated? Why? Because you are not matured. You don't understand what this will know. Verse 13. Let's read verse 13, everybody. For he has what? Rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. If you are in the kingdom of Jesus, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Case closed. Israel moved out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, right? And then they are across the other side. And then you are telling them Pharaoh is coming. Where is Pharaoh? He's gone. What happened to Pharaoh is an illustration of what Jesus did on the cross. He dealt with the devil permanently. That is, there is no question of recovery from it. He took all the weapon, everything he trusted in from him, and messed him up completely. They carried him on the public and said, hey, see, this guy has nothing anymore. And said to the church, now you go and serve me without fear all the days of your life. Guess who is afraid? The church. Hey, pastor. Pastor, I had a dream. In the dream, a cat. A black cat. I don't know why it's always a black cat. Why don't you see a white one? Black cat. I saw this black cat. The way he was looking at me. In fact, Pastor, if I even saw you. You came to fight for me. Don't see me fighting for you, my friend. You never see me anymore fighting for you. Don't think, tell me that story. Say, Pastor, I saw you. God of mercy. And people spend a whole night fighting the devil. I don't know how. I asked myself, I said, even if you are not a Christian, don't even have common sense. You fought him yesterday, fighting him today. Every day you are fighting him. It's either you are wasting time, or the man is resisting you. Or he's winning. Because every day you are fighting him. He's the devil. I'm going to fight the devil. Spiritual warfare. All that is not spiritual warfare, nothing. It's celebration of lack of growth, immaturity, ignorance. The Bible says in quietness and confidence, you possess your what? Quiet. Where is the quietness? The quietness because you know in whom, you know some things. The plan took care of that. In the cross, Jesus took care of it. If you are following me, shout hallelujah. Verse 20. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. You see why Paul was rejoicing? They have understood that their peace with God, it was because of the cross. It was because of the blood of Jesus. They have peace with God. If you have peace with God, there's nothing that will hold you back from going to God at any time. See. 21. And this includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now, everybody say, yet now.
Yet now.
Come on, say, yet now.
Yet now.
He has reconciled me to himself. Put me, come on. He has reconciled me to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought me. You have to put me on. He has brought me into his own presence. And I am now holy and blameless as I stand before him without a single fault. Not if you know the power of the blood. This is it. Can somebody shout hallelujah? I mean, he told us something in verse 23. There's a warning that comes with it. In verse 23, he gave us the warning there. He said, this will work for you, but you must continue to believe this truth. Because the devil will attack you and say, how can you be faultless? You are not perfect. Yeah, I'm not perfect. But the blood of Jesus cleanses me of all righteousness. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. So, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly on it. Don't drift away. Don't drift away. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached to all the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as a God's servant to proclaim it. That's the gospel of Christ Jesus. He said he was the one that reconciled you to God, which means his blood took away your sins, and God now invited you and brought you. And as far as God is concerned, you are standing there spotless without sin. Is that in your Bible? Did I make it up? Who has believed our report? Can somebody shout hallelujah? Your reconciliation to God was because of the blood. It's not because of what you did. It's because of the blood. You must remember that. If you want to honor the blood of Jesus, then honor the testimony God gave you. Believe the testimony. If you sin, tell God, I'm sorry. God will forgive you. He said, I'll forgive you and cleanse you of what? Unrighteousness. Because we still have this flesh. We have not received the path. Pastor Victor is still going to teach on eschatology. We have not received yet the glorified body. And to that extent, we have this thing to deal with. But God knows that our heart is after him. And God knows that we need mercy. He says in Psalm 103, I don't treat you the way you are. He said, I know you are flesh. I know you still have this body that's not glorified. I understand that. Can I hear amen? Amen. Or somebody say, oh, then people committing. No, no, no. If you've been following what we've been teaching, when people know this plan, their love is sin. And love does not do evil. The testimony says, whoa, we saw your love for everybody. And we saw your faith. Because this plan of God teaches you how God has changed you, what God gave you, the love of God he gave you. And because you believe it, the Holy Spirit is manifesting that love of God. And love is the fulfillment of the law. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory. Now Paul is still talking about the plan and the benefit of it. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is what? Crucified unto me, I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them, on them, and mercy. Peace be on them, and mercy. And upon the Israel of God. He said, as many as accept this truth, let the peace of God be on them. What is the truth there? That on the cross, God separated you from the world. Because on the cross, he made you a new creature that is created after the image, true image of God. On the cross, your old spiritual, sinful nature was crucified. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Now, I want to make a statement. I want everybody to look up here. Let me tell you something. Your effort against sin will not deal with sin in your life. I want to say it again. Your effort against sin will not deal with sin in your life. You are trying what is impossible. If my effort can deal with sin in my life, I don't need Jesus. I don't need the Holy Spirit. And yet Jesus said, without me, you can do.
I cannot deal with sin without Christ. And I want you to hear number 2 point. It was on the cross that God dealt with sin. Every Christian must know this. Sin is not dealt with by all this effort. Well, I'm trying to make effort. What effort are you making? It is where you are good, you remember. You don't always remember where you have been sleeping. It's where you are good, you remember now. And then holiness has come. How about the ones you slipped? You didn't even... I want to say it again. Sin is not being dealt with by you. We don't have the power. The Bible says because of the weakness of the flesh, God sent his son. Because of our flesh, God sent his son to come and deal with flesh. We sin in the flesh to come and be the new life so that through the power of his son, we can deal with this flesh. He said that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you put to death the desires of the flesh. It is not through your power. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of Christ in you. That's the hope of your glory. Church, can you understand what I'm saying here? Sin was dealt with on the cross. Can you say it with me? If you don't believe that, it will be ruining you. Again, Jesus said, you have to believe so that you cannot test. Romans 6:6. Sin was dealt with on the cross. The plan was for God to come and deal with sin. The Bible said Jesus came to take away sin. It was Jesus that dealt with sin. And you and I didn't deal with it. And we still can't deal with it. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can deal with it. Romans 6 says, knowing this, what do we know? That our old man is what? Crucified with him. That the body of sin might be what? That's where God dealt with sin. Every time people talk of sin, I say, go get saved. If you don't know what Jesus did on the cross, go get saved. Teach people what he did on the cross. Let them know him. The Bible says we are sanctified by faith that is in Christ Jesus. When you believe that sin has been destroyed in your life, sin will not rule you. Because as a man thinketh, so shall be. If you believe, you see. But if you don't believe what God has done in Christ for you, you have no interest in knowing these things. The plan that Paul said is being revealed, is praying that God will reveal it to the church, that sin was crucified on the cross, that it is on that cross that God separated him from the world, because sin was crucified right there, so that the power of sin is being dealt with. If I don't believe that, then I'm going to put my faith in something else to live by, and that is sinking sand. Before people, I can appear good, especially if I've come to church. But God knows that my faith is in sinking sand. And the devil knows too. That's why Pharisees ended up being hypocrites. Because they trusted in themselves. Is anybody following me here? But those that trust in him shall not be put to shame. Because when you believe what he did for you, that what he did for you becomes your portion, becomes your experience. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear anything. That's how you grow spiritually. That's how you grow out of this emotional hero, throwing anger tantrums and things like that. People who throw anger tantrums, they don't know Christ much. No. Let me tell you people the truth. When you know these things, this thing they call sin will die. Believe you me, it will hold no attraction. I'm not telling you what I don't know. That's exactly the truth. It will hold no what? Second, you find that Paul is correct, that you are dead to the world. It's true. You don't make effort. You don't want, it doesn't attract, you don't even have any desire. No, it doesn't pull you. It's dead. Completely dead. Believe you me, your mind doesn't even, how do I illustrate this thing? Will you be attracted by a bottle of acid to drink? Is this something you not? I'm telling you, even when you deviate, there is a mechanism in you called your conscience. The thing will kill you immediately. You lose your peace.
You may not know what it is, but you lose your peace immediately. Because there's a spirit that walketh in you. You don't need to, if you do something, you may not put your finger on it, but somehow you lose. We are Christians now. You say, Lord, where did I? What is it? Sometimes the following day, 2 days after, oh my God. You didn't know it, but something knew it ahead of you. Your born again spirit knew it. And said, this is not right. And God does not condemn us, but God will convict us. You know what condemnation means? Condemnation means a hopelessness. If I do something bad to my auntie, if she condemns me, she's giving me no hope or recovery. She's saying you are a useless man. See what you do. God is no more happy with you. It's a hopeless dead end that leads to further destruction. Because I'll be so depressed, I see no hope at all. That's condemnation. That's what you say, you condemn somebody, they put him in jail. So, because I did this and she had it, she comes to me and says, you, and you call yourself a Christian. In fact, let me tell you, hell is there. There is no hope for me. What is telling me is further deteriorating my faith to bounce back, and it's pushing me gradually until I come to a point where I say, well, he that is down is no far, so I can might as well stay here. There's no, but you know, conviction comes and says, you did that is wrong, but Christ is your advocate. It points you back the way back to this, a way to hope, a way back to life, because that's what Jesus does. He brings us back, gives us another chance. And then you learn why that thing happened. You begin to learn why it happened. Like I'm teaching today, grow up now. Grow. Maybe that's why you are throwing anger time to do. Grow, grow. And as you start to grow in Christ, you realize that, wow, this is what I should have done. And all those things that used to be an issue, when you hear them, they hold no attraction. In fact, sometimes I laugh at myself. I say, is this you? Because I used to be very childish. I still do childish things too, because I'm not perfect. But I'm not as childish as I used to be. Go and report me. What about you? God say that, my friend. I still do childish. Yeah, I don't get it all the time. I know that. I know that I don't now. But blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a way. Christ is the way out for me. And you are not taking my confidence away, because I know I have peace with God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is anybody getting me? You are not stopping me from praying. I'm going to my father, because he's waiting for me with open arms, because there's an advocate there. I said, I died for him. My blood speaks for him. And nobody can stop the blood talking for you. Can I hear amen? Amen. The Bible says that the gifts and the callings of God is without what? Repentance. That blood will never stop talking. That's why I say, what will separate you from the love of God? He said, there is nothing. Praise the Lord. Whoa. Are you getting something?
Yeah.
Now, do you know that Paul was in pursuit of spiritual growth? When Paul realized that all this law, knowledge of the law, and the things about the Pharisee, when he realized that that won't help him, that what will help him is to know Christ crucified. He said, wow. He said, nothing compares with the knowledge of what? Christ Jesus. And then he began to pursue that knowledge. That I might what? Know him. You know why he was pursuing that? He realized that that's the key to spiritual growth. He said, the reason Christ laid hold on me is for me to grow and mature into the fullness of Christ. And that's what he wrote to the Ephesians. He said, God gave you pastors and things to equip you, so you come to the full maturity of Christ Jesus. That God is transforming us so that in character, in everything, in power, in faith, in everything we do, it will be like Jesus exactly. He said, that's the goal. And so he said, I've not attained yet, but I'm pursuing that maturity that God set before me. Somebody shout hallelujah. He said, if anybody is matured here, he will understand what I'm saying. But if you are not matured and you are a baby, you don't understand it, he said, God will reveal it to you. Can I read it for us? Amen. Look at Philippians 3:8. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake now, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. Now, after he made this radical decision to discard everything else so that he would gain the knowledge of Christ, develop himself in this revelation that God gave him. Look at verse 12, Philippians 2:12. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached what? Perfection. I don't say I'm matured, perfectly matured, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first what? Possessed me. He said that's why Christ possessed me, so that I can become mature to the full stature of Christ. He said that's what I'm pursuing. What verse is that? 12? 13. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past, including my mistakes of yesterday, and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach what? The end of the race, and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling me. Let all who are spiritually what? Mature, agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress now we have already made. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. He said, follow this example of pursuing spiritual maturity through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do you get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? So what will be our pursuit now to mature? What will be our pursuit? I didn't hear you. What will be your pursuit? Your pursuit. What is the key thing now? Why? Why is it key? Why is it key? Huh? Yeah? But that's what will bring you to spiritual maturity. Why you are no more a baby? Because you are grounded in the things that God has done for you. And in knowing them, you believe them. You are grounded in things. When people are afraid, because you are grounded, they are no more afraid. People are running from place to place looking for a miracle. You stopped all that. You are now stable. Because you know that miracle is your lifestyle every day. Praise the Lord. Because you understand that you have access to God and God answers your prayer. So what are you looking for miracle in? You know how to, you have conversation with God. If things are tough, you go to your father and say, Lord, this is not working the way you said it to me in the Bible. Is there anything I'm missing here? You know how to have conversation with him. And he will tell you what you want to know. So you don't need Pastor Manuel again. You don't need any prophet again. You don't need any seer. You don't need any anointed man of God. Because you yourself, you are anointed. Become mature. You grow up. You become independent. Somebody shout hallelujah. Become independent. So you can now go to the marketplace. You know how to haggle. You know what is right. You know what is not right. The Bible says that maturity makes you to understand right and wrong. It doesn't come because you're just a human being. It comes by growing in Christ. The eyes of your understanding is being opened. And the light of God, which is Christ, is flooding your mind. So you can see things from God's point of view very easily. But there are a lot of things that people are praying to find out the will of God on. If you are matured, it will take you 2 minutes to know. Believe him. You know how to cling to God very easily. Very easily, you just look up to heaven and it's like, boom, connect with God. And you say, Lord, what is this? He will tell you. Things get resolved faster because you are now an adult. And God will commit things into your hands and show you things. He may not show babes, because if he show it to babes, they might cause trouble. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then he can give resources into your hand, including money. When you didn't have money, you are not coming for Bible studies. If he gives you money, you will leave the church. You will leave now. So why should he give you? Can I hear amen? Amen. I said, can I hear amen? Amen. But when you mature, he can give you money. And instead of the money taking you away, the money will draw you and you use it to sponsor mission things because you now see things from God's point of view. Let's pray. I don't know if you got anything. I want you to talk to God yourself. What is your purpose now? Do you know that spiritual maturity is important? Have you realized that it is very crucial? Because if you don't grow spiritually, you are going to lose a lot of spiritual battles. You are going to. It's not a question of whether you will. You are going to. And your life can go round and round and round and round. What will take you a journey of 2 years, you go 10. It's not good to do that to yourself. You owe it to yourself to grow spiritually. So that your life will bring glory, bring honor to God. You walk in glory now. You walk in glory now. Humility. You see the glory in humility. You see the glory in saying, I'm sorry. And then nobody will beg you to say, I'm sorry, because you know, all those things about this pride thing is not, it's useless, it's childish. You find joy in saying, I'm sorry. You find joy in allowing somebody to say his mind, even when you think they don't know what they're saying. You find joy in not gossiping again, because your love will be seen by all. Your love, everybody you deal with will see the love of God. At your job, people will see it. They will see your faith in Christ working. And the same testimony will come. We have seen your faith in Christ and your love for all. And there will be no fear. For perfect love casts out of fear. When you know the love of God, true fear goes. The grace of God is described as the love of God.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.